So Unity 2021 is look up, because it has two effects. Looking up causes something physiological that causes you to be more positive, but also to look up and above the challenges that may be going on to the possibilities. What tiny step can I take to make a difference in this part of my life? So maybe you have something going on that is causing some consternation or causing some angst or fear or stress. What might you take? What tiny step might you take to move forward in this part of your life? So let's explore that today. How about everywhere I look, I see the good? It's easier said than done, isn't it? I mean, sometimes everywhere I look, I don't see good, but I know that the potential is there. And I invite you to consider that as you begin every day with this idea, everywhere I look, I see the good, you'll start to see the good. This week is about taking action. And that first action is, first of all, standing in your values, and then starting the day with an action step, like deciding to see the good. So what matters deep in your heart? That's what I'd like to know. And you probably would like to know. Because if you've been confused over the last little while, this time of isolation has certainly given an opportunity to get really clear on what it is that you might value, and also what really matters. So how about in the face of pain or opening yourself up to life, what really matters? Let's take a look at that. So there's a story that is a fairly current, fairly relevant story. And maybe you know some people that are in a similar situation. And I'd like you to consider this story that I'm telling you, and then think about a problem or a problematic situation that you might have or have had, whether it's big or small. So it begins with this story of two lifelong friends. Now, these two men were boys when they first met, and they really did tend to be a lot alike. They were very opinionated. They felt that they were right all of the time. It just so happened that through most of their life, the things that they really believed in were congruent with each other. They may have had a few tiffs and arguments, but they always came back to the mutual respect and love that they had for each other. And also that when they did have conflict, it really wasn't conflict. They just fueled each other's fire because they both believed in that thing that they were talking about. And along comes the last few years, where we had a president in the United States who really divided the country. And so there was probably half of the country that really were in his camp, in Trump's camp, and the other half of the country were not. And in this particular case of these two friends I was talking about, one friend absolutely thought Trump was the best thing since sliced bread. And the other just did not agree at all, thought he was the worst thing that could have happened. And the most interesting thing is that this was the first time in about a 40-year relationship that the two of them were equally as stubborn as they had always been, but they were on opposite sides of the camp. And they didn't know how to deal with that, because they had really never practiced how to agree to disagree. They had always had strong opinions, but they were in agreement about those strong opinions most of the time. And in this particular case, they weren't. And they were at a stalemate and were wondering, what do I do with this now? Because it doesn't feel so good. And the immediate response from one of the two men was, I just can't take this anymore. I'm just going to tell this dude to just take a hike because I can't, I don't want to listen to that conversation. I don't want to have an argument about that. I don't want to have a negative life experience every time I'm with this person and we're talking about Trump. And I remember as I heard that story, I was thinking, you know, we really aren't well equipped to deal with conflict and problems in some of our family lives. Some families, and I know I dated a fellow when I was in my teens whose family argued all the time. And so he loved to have a good argument. And it wasn't to win or lose, it was just to have a great debate. I, on the other hand, came from a family where you either agreed with everyone or it just didn't work. And so I was never taught how to agree to disagree in a really healthy way until I was older and had other experiences and even took training in conflict resolution and all of that sort of thing. So where are you in a situation that you may have in your life, whether it's a big problem or a small problem? And do you know how to deal with it in a healthy way? So let's take a look. What tiny step can I take to make a difference in this part of my life? It takes courage to even ask that question in the middle of something that doesn't feel very good. But what might that be? Let's just take a moment, close your eyes, and think about the situation. And if running away isn't the option, what tiny step might you take to move towards resolving this situation? And maybe you had an answer pop up into your mind. Open your eyes again if you want. Or maybe it didn't, but it will. Just know that you have set the wheels in motion for that answer to start to come. So you can never cross the ocean unless you have the courage to lose sight of the shore. That was Christopher Columbus. And so if this is something that you've never dealt with before, this problem, and you don't know how to move forward, take note of what Christopher Columbus said. Like, he never would have gotten across the ocean if he had listened to everybody who said the world was flat. He went anyway. He was willing to lose sight of the shore. So what shore are you hanging on to? And if you were to let go of it, that there is this opportunity for something new. Do you argue for your limitations? Here's a quote by Richard Bach. Argue for your limitations, and sure enough, they're yours. I know there are many times when I've had conversations with someone and they're in a bad place. They're focusing on the negative. And they'll give me an entire list of all of the reasons why anything other than what was going on was going to happen. They're really arguing for their limitations. And I understand that. And yet, when you do that, you don't move forward. You actually get to stay in that stuck place. So how about this one by Rumi? Yesterday I was clever, so I wanted to change the world. Today I'm wise, so I'm changing myself. Yeah. How many times have you wanted to change the way someone is or the way the world is? Never really truly realizing that the power is within each of us. And the power to change the world actually begins at the center of each of us by making the choices and then taking the actions to be the change. So let's look at cause and effect as a game of ironies, at Stomp, Scream, and Cry, and the Resilience Formula. So what's true for me about taking a stand? So does it scare you to take a stand in a confrontational situation? And why does it scare you? What is it that you're afraid of? Is it that you don't know how to deal with disagreement? Or you don't want someone to raise the temperature, if you know what I mean? So what is true for you about taking a stand? Or do you regularly take a stand and you're really comfortable taking a stand? Who do I know myself to be? Who do you know yourself to be? Are you opinionated? Are you open to new ways of looking at things? Do you believe the universe is for you or against you? Because who you are and how you behave is a reflection of whether you believe you live in a friendly universe or not. So let's look at some of these core values. What do I want to stand for in my daily life? And does it match what I do? So some of the core values are things like optimism, positivity, commitment, dependability, reliability, efficiency, loyalty, passion, honesty. So to what extent am I living by my values? And I know last week we talked about values some, but well, let's dig a little bit deeper. If there are areas of struggling to be who you want to be, what do you think the values are that are around that situation? Why do you think you're struggling? Is it because you really value friendship over conflict? Is it because you really value peace and aren't willing to do anything to disturb the peace? Is it that you value, I don't know, what comes to your mind? So let's analyze those two friends that I was telling you about. They both valued expressing their opinion. They both valued the friendship. And did they feel safe to disagree? So how easy or hard is it to live by your values in times of challenge? And why is it easy or hard? Is it because you don't have a lot of practice? Is it that you aren't feeling confident? Is it that you're really not sure that that's in fact what you believe? Perhaps you need more time to think about something. You're not a real quick responder in a conflict situation. I know I'm not. Sometimes I need a couple of days to really process what I've heard. You are inspired by hope and positive outcomes at the beginning. So how does something go off the rails? So, you know, when we start something new, unless we've had negative experiences doing that sort of thing, we do start with positive hopes and inspirations and that it's going to turn out. And how does it go off the rails? Sometimes we're ready to throw it out because something happens and we think, oh, this isn't worth it. But if you dig a little deeper, maybe it's just a matter of reframing it. Maybe it's a matter of looking at it in another way so that you can then take your power back. I mean, we naturally have a fear of negative outcomes. That's normal. And it's often this fear that stops us from moving forward. It's like those two friends where one of them basically just said, like, I'm just going to walk away from this friendship because who needs this stuff? Who needs this arguing? Who needs this conflict? It really derailed their friendship. And I don't know whether they will continue to have a friendship or not. But I know that the first step comes in doing the personal work for each of them, if they're willing, and they may or may not be. And then when they do, to sit with each other and talk about what that was like and what they came up with. And they may agree to disagree or not. I remember years ago, I had a really good friend, and I was single at the time. Pardon me. And we used to go out on Friday nights dancing. And it wasn't our intention to meet anybody or to start to date anybody. We really enjoyed each other's company. But what we wanted to do was just go out and have some fun. And in the process, I happened to meet someone who wanted to start dating me. And of course, because my life was so full already, my going out time was with this girlfriend. And now I was needing to split my going out time with this newfound boyfriend and this girlfriend. And she started to be where we would all three go out. And she started to be really mean and nasty to him, not for any reason that he needed to be treated that way, but because she didn't want him in the picture. And I remember taking her aside, and it wasn't while we were out, but on another day, and saying to her, I'm going to continue in this relationship with this person for as long as this lasts. And I would love for us to be able to get along somehow and to continue our friendship, but I don't know how to do that. And I invited her to consider if there was any way that we could get by this situation. And she looked me squarely in the eye and said, if it's not just you and me when we go out, then we can't be friends. And that friendship ended kerplunk, just like that. Now, I needed to honor that, and I moved on and have not seen this person for a number of decades now, don't even know where she might be. And sometimes I wonder how it might have been different if we had found a way to collaborate and to be friends and still evolve in our life. But I would guess that she didn't know how to be friends in a different situation than the one that we had. And if we had had more time, perhaps, to discuss it and explore it, it might have been different. But then again, maybe not. Have you had an experience like that? So what gives you the will to carry on in spite of what happens in life? How does it show up in your life? So do you believe that you tend to be attracted to people with similar values? I mean, the interesting thing, you know, again, going back to these two friends, and one who loved Trump and one who didn't love Trump, they had similar values. They actually really honored having strong beliefs about stuff. That was actually something that drew them together. And so for as much as one of the friends, because he was speaking to me about it, said, I want to be around like-minded people. A little voice in my head said, but you were around like-minded people. This friend actually was just like you, very opinionated. You just happened to now be on opposite sides of the camp. And so in every conflict, there is some similarity. There's a mirror effect going on. Do you see what I mean? So a disagreement brings up our values. How am I like this person or problem is more the question to ask. And it may not resolve the conflict, but at least it gives you peace of mind, clarity, and understanding. So cause and effect is a game of ironies. So what does that mean? An outcome of events contrary to what was or might have been expected is what an irony is. And so let's look at that deeper. So to keep something, whatever it is, we've got to give it away. So that's an irony. Because how can I keep something by giving it away? Doesn't make sense. So the real irony of learning to successfully or unsuccessfully play the game is actually a secret. And it's possible for us as human beings to do all kinds of things. But learning to navigate life, there isn't a book that you can open that says this is the rules of the game of life. We have to learn them as we go. It's a moving target. So in some situations, yes, do what feels right and do what you think. But at the same time, if you keep doing what you've been doing, you'll keep getting what you've been getting. And so do you see the irony in that as well? And how do you recognize, is this a situation where I continue to do what I feel is right, like those two friends? Do they just go their own merry ways and do what they think is right, each of them separately? Or do they stop and say, if I keep just not hearing, not being open, then I'm going to keep this conflict alive? So the voice of reason and intuition often speaks so much more softly than the voice that urges us into drama, addiction, and troublemaking. And isn't that the truth? In the middle of or at the start of an argument, let's say, or a conflict, there's a little voice that says, oh, just let it go. But it's a whisper usually. There's usually another urge that comes up that is more like the lion, the bear, that just wants drama, that just wants to jump in. And that's the way we're hardwired. And to live deliberately, consciously, as each of us moves forward in the challenges in life, is to be able to stop in the middle of something like that and take a deep breath and just say, what is my voice of reason? What is my intuition saying here? And maybe like those two men that I referred to, it's ultimately that you've outgrown that situation. And that perhaps it's time to be in a situation where you are more in alignment with what others think. Maybe the two of you, if you're talking about a relationship like these two men, maybe the two of you really just settled, compromised, rather than being willing to expand and be more who you really are. So besides the hard decisions we make, there's another kind too, and they're the little choices that we face. So it's, do I do the right thing or do I stir the pot? Do I relax and let go or do I obsess? Do I pick up the phone and call someone? Or do I dwell in how stuck and miserable I feel? Do I really feel it or do I numb it? And another one is, do I just do something that feels gentle and nurturing? Or do I sit and torture myself and beat myself up? Can you see they're all choices? But they're little choices. And that's how you can overcome in a time when you're having a conflict or a challenge, is to start with some little choices. It doesn't have to be a big one. It can be a little one. Do you have times when you genuinely don't know what to do next? Where you're just so confused that it just fills your mind? That... It's usually at that time when there's this little voice in our head that's like the built-in troublemaker. Making hard calls isn't just doing the opposite of what we think. It's often doing the opposite of what that troublemaker in us is asking us to do. I mean, think about some of the things that you may have said or wanted to do in a time when you really are in that confused, conflicted state. Ooh, could you ever get into trouble? And some of that you just can't take back. It's just so simple, though, to be able to stop, take a deep breath, and say, what's really going on here? How do I choose to move forward and not create some really awful baggage in this situation. So are you ready to use your free will to play the game of cause and effect by making little hard calls that make life a little lighter? So stomping, screaming, and crying. Have you ever stomped or screamed or cried because of a situation? So let's take a look at that. Let's unpack that. So how about tell someone how it feels? Talk it out. Reason it through first. The hardest person to be honest with is yourself. Think of a time you took action that was in line with your values and beliefs. What were the circumstances? What made you decide to do the right thing? And how did it feel? Now I'm talking about those circumstances where rather than stomping, crying, yelling, and all of those things, that you actually did take a deep breath and you decided to do the right thing. Sometimes it was a really big pill to swallow and it felt very humbling. Or maybe it didn't. Maybe it felt empowering. But what made you decide to do the right thing at that time? So let's look at the resilience formula. And what does resilience mean? That you have the ability to bounce back. In any challenging situation, there are four possible approaches to consider. So let's take a look at the four approaches in any difficult situation. You could leave the situation. And leaving the situation isn't always an option. Sometimes you can't just walk away. But if you're, let's say, in a crummy marriage or an awful job or living in a lousy neighborhood, you could begin by asking yourself, would life be better if you left rather than if you just stayed? And really ponder that question. You may discount this first option for all sorts of reasons. How about staying and changing what can be changed? Let's say you choose to stay in a difficult situation, or if you have no choice but to stay, that you're staying because you have no choice. What can you do to improve it? So how about staying and accepting what can't be changed and live by your values? There are some situations that can't be changed. They can't. And the only way to find out how to get through it is to try your best, to stand with your values, live by your values, and do the best that you can. Because I think awareness really does set the stage for more ideas, more possibilities. So, do you actively choose to direct the direction you wish to take, or do you passively go along for the ride? Are you one of those people when there's a group deciding on something, you just figure, oh, well, I'll just do what everybody else is doing? Or maybe you're that way with your partner. Or maybe you're that way in certain parts of your life. When you're really truly aligned with what's important to you, what your values are, you begin to steer your life towards something that's more meaningful for you. And maybe it means baby steps. Maybe it means saying, no, I don't want to do that. I'd rather do something else. And that's the first time that you've ever said that. It's the opportunity to exercise those muscles, so to speak. Because really, life isn't about passively going along for the ride. It's really about choosing what makes your heart sing. Because you were brought into this beingness, into this existence, into this body that you're in, to be the hands and feet of eternity, and to discover what possibilities are available to you as the unique expression of the Creator. And so that doesn't require passivity. It requires action. So I invite you, yes, there are times to be passive, but there are times to say, this is what I want. This is what I choose. This is what I desire. And this is what I choose to allow in my life. If you've chosen to stay, let's say, in a situation, or you have to stay, and you've taken every action possible to improve the situation, then the only thing you can do is practice acceptance. Accept those painful feelings, open up, and make room for them. There's a TV show I was watching where someone became incarcerated, and they were actually not guilty of anything, but they were incarcerated, and it didn't look like they were going to get out for a very long time. And the show basically was their mental process of just coming to terms with the situation and making room for, is there good in this situation? And what is it that can be good? And so they started to make friends with people. They started to find ways to have life be worth living rather than staying in that situation. Now, I know that there are very few of us that are going to be in that terrible a situation and be incarcerated. I hope that never happens to any of us. But there are situations where we just have to stay. Maybe it's looking after someone who's elderly and they have no one else to look after them. And it is sometimes an impossible situation. So how can you make room to accept the situation, even accept the pain of the situation, and still flourish in that? You know, when you're in a situation that you don't like, your mind is going to have all kinds of things to say that are not very helpful. And so how do you diffuse those harsh judgments and self-defeating stories? Give them plenty of space to come and go. Because the first thing that happens when you try to push something down is that it gets bigger, it gets louder, it feels more strongly within your body or in your emotions. And it's to honor it, see it, bless it, allow it to stay as long as it needs to stay, and then let it go on its own time. Because it will. So what can you do to pull yourself out of the muck and be in the present? And this has certainly been a challenging year for a lot of people. And you've had the opportunity, perhaps, to even pull yourself out of the muck. Or maybe you're still in the muck. So number one is, choose to live by your values. Engage in life 100%. To the degree that you're able to in the situation that you're in. It's like if all you have are lemons, make lemonade. So if you're stuck in your house, for instance, and you really value communicating with others, learn how to use Zoom. Write letters. Use the telephone. Or if you can't go to the gym, maybe you start doing exercises at home, or you go for a bike ride, or you go for long walks. Ideas start to bubble up as soon as you are willing and open for ideas to bubble up. That's how life works. It starts from within you, and the solutions arise, and then you need to take action to put them into motion. So four, let's say that you stay and you just give up trying and you do things that actually make a situation worse. And I mean, there are times where it's like, you know what? If I have to stay in this situation, then I'm going to make it hell for everybody. And I bet you can think of individuals who have been that way. Maybe you were that way until you resigned yourself to the fact that you had to stay. But the thing is, that too is sort of a human tendency that, okay, if I'm stuck here, rather than making the best of it, let's make it really bad, is human nature. And maybe you've chosen that at times. It doesn't end well, though. I don't invite you to go there. So can you remember a time when your choices made the situation worse? So close your eyes just for a moment. And just think of a situation where all the choices that you made really didn't help the situation. It made it worse. And what have you learned from that? Because maybe at the time you chose to worry or blame or pace up and down or kick the wall or yell and rant and cry, or you turned to drugs or alcohol or potato chips. It didn't solve the problem. In a way, it added to the problem, didn't it? And I invite you to remember that the solution to every problem that you may have is right within you. And when you connect regularly to that wisdom that is life within you, that the answers do come. And the answers come in ways that are just perfect for you. You don't have to feel stuck, even in a situation that is unchangeable for you, because your attitude will make the difference. Think of Mandela, for instance, how he survived all those years being incarcerated was by his mindset. And he came out actually victorious, phenomenal. I don't know if I could have done it, but they say that if one person can accomplish something phenomenal like that, we all can. So what tiny step can you take right now to make a difference in one part of your life? Have you put your life on hold and let a certain problem consume you, perhaps? Because when you've put it on hold, then it gets even more stuck. And there's no fulfillment in that. So when you're ready, and you don't have to forge ahead, but when you're ready, start making the choices to make new choices, more empowering choices, more loving choices. Because Spirit says yes to that just as much as it says yes to the negative that you've been having. So let's recap. What is true for me about taking a stand? Is it difficult or is it easy? And maybe it's difficult in some areas and easy in others. And perhaps look at that too. Is it the individuals in certain situations? Or is it the circumstances? Just a question. Who do I know myself to be? Who do you know yourself to be? If I asked your best friend, who are you and what do you value? What do you think they'd say? What do I want to stand for in my daily life? And does it match what I do? Are you being congruent with your values and how you behave? To what extent am I living by my values? If there are areas of struggling to be who I want to be, why do I think this is true? Because you know what? Life doesn't have to be hard. It can be easy, free-flowing. It doesn't mean there aren't challenges. But the thing is that there is a power in really knowing that you are in charge. You're the author of your life. Spirit has endowed you with the faculty of making decisions and of having an imagination and of being able to receive wisdom from within. And so you have that opportunity all of the time. you are magnificent. So it might be easy or hard to live by your values. And you might even say, why is that? Maybe it's because you didn't have a lot of practice. And you don't need practice so much as stopping, taking a breath, and really looking at what's really going on here. What value is being pushed up against? And what can I do about it? And what gives you the will to carry on? I know what gives me the will to carry on, and that is that usually a crisis fades, and it's in my rearview mirror in short order. And so I know that this is just a process. What gives you the will to carry on? And how does it show up in your life? Sometimes I don't know. And I stop and I pray. And I don't pray to fix the situation because that's not what prayer does. Prayer is me connecting to the inner wisdom that resides in me but is so much greater than me, that has the answers to any challenges I might have. And as soon as I stop and remember to pray, which is connect with spirit, I feel so much better. And usually things transform. So I invite you to consider prayer as something that you might do when challenges show up. So we talked about cause and effect as being a game of ironies. We talked about we can stomp, scream, and cry, and that's okay, but is that how we really want to live? And we looked at how can we be more resilient. And maybe it's baby steps, making small choices. Because life does sometimes hand us lemons. And it's up to us to make lemonade. So everywhere I look, I see good. Say that with me. Everywhere I look, I see the good. Let's anchor this with a song. What Would Love Do Now by Eddie Watkins Jr. and Emilio Zaris.
Just before you say something you can't take away, take a breath and let it out. Try to think about what would love do now. Wondering if I should cross that line. Whatever you decide, ask yourself from inside, what would love do now? Everything is either an act of love or a cry for love. That's why for love we try for love. In the end, that's all we know. That's real, whether right or wrong. Doesn't matter just as long as you let your heart decide. Ask yourself from inside, what would love do now? Everything is either an act of love or a cry for love. That's why for love we try for love. In the end, that's all we know that's real. Whether right or
doesn't matter, just as long as you let your heart decide. Ask yourself from inside, what would love do now?